When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 363 of The Big Show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. Oh, it's the Vegas edition, the Through the Power of Editing. You're listening to me. I'm on my second week in Las Vegas as you're listening to this. I'd like to say hopefully I'm up money, but we'll see.
Some guys just can't handle Vegas.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah, maybe I can handle it. Maybe I can't. I think I'll be okay. But actually, it is Sunday at 4:30 in the afternoon. Before we leave, we fly out tomorrow afternoon. So I'm trying to get a few episodes in the can here. This is like the third episode I've recorded in less than 24 hours. So all the things I do for you people, I'm telling you, podcast of the year right here. I'm telling you, folks. You know, nobody can doubt my dedication. Oh, put a C on this jersey. You know, I'd be a fucking room guy. That's what I'd be right now. Leading by example out here. yes. Do as I say, not as I do. How you guys doing on this Wednesday? I'm going to tell you, even if I'm down money, I'm having a good time. I'm assuming I'm having a good time, but it's Vegas. How can you have a bad time? Yeah. So this is kind of weird, right? Because it's like I'm talking to you, but you're listening to this like, you know, 10 days into the future. So it's like, okay, well, what can I talk about? I guess I can't talk about anything I bring up, you know, certainly won't be up to date. It'll be like when you used to read them old wrestling magazines. They were about 2 months behind. Yeah. Well, I'm about 10 days behind because one of the things I'm going to talk about is an NHL debut today. Gotta say, old list guy Tim gave me the heads up and, you know, I went and checked it out, and I'm like, you know, we'll see. I'll get into that shortly. It's kind of a list. I will say, someone sent me a YouTube video, and it was the top 10 hockey fights of all time. So I was like, oh, okay, so let's check it out. And it was by NBC Sports, of all channels. And I was like, oh, all right. And, yeah, it was interesting. Yeah. So I can't act surprised because I obviously had to watch the videos and I wrote down the fights that they had in order. So I will talk about that and I'm going to open some hockey cards. But first, I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast Network, over 100 shows in the network. If we keep it up, it might be dwindling here pretty quick though. I'm assuming Jolt and Joe Lazito over at the Coliseum Chronicle has released another Steve McLaren interview. I don't know how many parts it is. I don't know. Maybe he didn't release another one. But he has been interviewing Steve McLaren. At recording time, he's on episode 3, part 3. And of course, Stone Cold, one of my favorite all-time minor league fighters. And it's been a fun little listen. So, again, talking to my future self, I'm going to have to go back and catch up. Because obviously, I'm not listening to podcasts on vacation. But I'll have to do that when I get back. But that, and I'm not sure what Alex's deal is as of right now. I know he obviously has just moved to Tennessee and, you know, getting settled at home or getting settled at the house and you know, unpacking and getting a job and all that shit. So obviously podcasting is not on his mind. So I don't know in the next 10 days if he's going to record anything or not. But as of right now, he hasn't recorded anything. And same thing with Jordan at 5 in a game. So, you know, we're up in the air here. Like I said, though, I'm talking to you 10 days after this. So I'm not sure what's going to happen in 2 weeks here. But that's where we sit on February 18th, 2024 at 4:30 in the afternoon as I see it. But how about we open these hockey cards here, folks? I have to still kind of have to go clean up and pack a little bit. And I am actually going to go to bed early. Well, I'm not like 6 o'clock at night or anything. But I'm going to bed early tonight because I have to work tomorrow. I'm working tomorrow morning. And somebody said, well, you're flying out tomorrow. Yes, I'm flying out at 5 o'clock at night. But tomorrow, of course, Monday is Holiday Monday here. I think in the States it's President's Day, but up here it's Family Day, and which, of course, is a stat holiday, which pays triple time. So I'm like, well, I will make time to go into work. So I am going in like at 4 in the morning, and I'm going to bust around for about 6 or 7 hours, get that triple time. Hey, you know, I might need it, seeing as I'm going to Vegas for 2 weeks. I might need the overtime money. So I'm going to go do that and, you know, catch up on a few things. And then, you know, so I'm going to go to bed. I'm really talking myself in that I'm going to go to bed at about 9:30, 10 o'clock. Well, it'll be midnight. I'll be down here doing fucking show graphics or something. I already know it. But in my head, I'm going to go to bed early. We'll see. But let's have a look at these cards, shall we? These are 91-92 Pro Set. Sir, Makarov. Do I get Makarov on like every pack of cards I open? I'm never going to not. What season was it? I always tell the story about how I picked him last in the draft. And yeah, there it was. His first year. 24 goals, 62. 86 points he picked me up. That's what won me the draft. So I'm not going to knock Serge Makarov too much. Jolton Joe-Sakic. There we go. Gary Roberts. One of the premier power forwards. Yeah, huge Gary Roberts fan. Steve Larmer, underrated talent. You know what I mean? Great player, though. Mike Ricci, yeah. Stefan DeBoo. Dave Taylor, there you go. Old, you know, again, had a great career. Was not afraid to mix it up, though. Neil Broughton, famous, of course, one of his fighting majors was against Wayne Gretzky. Steve Yzerman, yeah, he wasn't bad. Oh, what a talent. Brian Skrudlin. There you go. Old Saskatoon boy. Met him a couple times. Nice guy. Grinder. This is Dave Taylor, the master. King Clancy trophy. Al McGinnis All-Star card. Dave Gagne All-Star card. There we go. And some, what is this? The Modern Arena Built for Comfort. Oh, it's like that black and white heritage card from, well, there we go. Wow, that's a, I mean, hey, man, you get Sakic and Yzerman and, you know, and, you know, that's not a bad little package right there as far as the star players go. Gary Roberts can go over in the toughness pile. There we go. Hockey cards. There's actually I believe there's a collectible store just off of Fremont Street that I tried to go there last time we were in Vegas, but they were closed at the time. So I'm going to check them out this time. We'll see. I've never been to a collectible store in Vegas. I'm sure there's a bunch of them, but I know there's one in the mall over in the corner too. Yeah. Anyway, I'm talking out loud here. I'm talking out loud. Yeah, no. Yeah. Thinking out loud is what I'm trying to say. So I'm sitting there, having a mid-afternoon nap. I'm just kind of taking it easy. And List Guy Tim texts me, telling me how much he enjoys outdoor games. Oh yeah, someone's car alarm is going. They got it. Outdoor games. All right. I think they've, yeah, I mean, I get the thing with the outdoor games. I mean, I get the gimmick. I mean, it's obviously overplayed at this point. I mean, how many do they play a year and stuff? But, I mean, if the people, you know, I get, if the folks are still going to go out and watch, I mean, what the fuck, right? I mean, you know, I think this year is obviously the Battle of New York. You know, that's a cool idea. I think, you know, I think if you did that, like a New York one, like a Battle of Alberta one, and, you know, Philly, Pittsburgh. I mean, I think if you did kind of a rivalry deal, not a made up rivalry one, but like, you know, or even in the same state, you know what I'm saying? You know, same province, you know, we could do Toronto, Ottawa, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, that would be pretty cool. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm not watching any of these. I don't care, but, or do an Original Six thing or something. Okay. Other than that, whatever. But anyway, moving from that, he was kind of saying, he goes, I don't know who this kid is. You got to see this big motherfucker for the Rangers. So this Matt Rempe. Yeah, 6'7", 240. He's a Western kid out from Calgary, Alberta, 21 years old, played in the Dub, played in Seattle. If I had more time, I know he played with Cade McNally. I was going to text Cade and say, like, give me the lowdown with this kid here. But man, him and Cade on the same club. There you go. Wasn't a real huge fighter in junior. And of course, the Western Hockey League doesn't have any fight limits, but, didn't put up huge numbers, but, obviously someone kind of gave him the Iggy there when he turned pro. And it's kind of like, okay, dude, like you're 6'8", maybe start, you know, you don't have the offensive flair to, you know, make the NHL. So maybe start beating the shit out of people. And he's clearly, you know, kind of getting going. 96 AHL games. He's got 16 tilts. Yeah. You know, that nowadays shit that's like Mike Peluso-like numbers at this point, in this day and age. So, and again, I've never heard of this kid or anything, and I'm not trying to knock him or anything. I don't follow hockey, you know, other than a couple guys, right? Newer guys. So, but I went back and looked and, watched a bunch of his fights. Point being is it was obviously his first NHL game was regular season game was today at the outdoor game, which would be kind of a hell of a debut. You're at the outdoor game as your debut. And then his first NHL shift, he fights Matt Martin. So I'm like, oh, attaboy kid. And he looked all right. I mean, it wasn't Hordachuk Engelstad or anything, but yeah, whatever, they got into it. And, you know, hell of a first shift in the NHL. You'll have something. If he does nothing else, he's got something to talk about. My NHL debut was at an outdoor game and I fought Matt Martin on my first shift. Well, there you go. Shit. You got a story to tell for the rest of your life. So, you know, good on him. And hey, it is a Western kid. So I got a soft spot for him. Plus, he's an old Alberta Junior League guy. Played a couple years of Junior A, so I really got a soft spot for this kid now. So now, you have my attention. Okay, so, and I will say, I went back and looked at some of his American League fights. Goddamn, not bad, not bad. I mean, again, boy, he's the next coming of Link Gates. I mean, well, I'm not saying that, but I mean, had a great fight with, I will say, out of all the fight, I kind of looked at his fight card, and of course, not paying much attention. I'm like, I don't know any of these people that he's fighting. I've never heard of these guys until I saw Vince Arsenault and Dylan McElrath and that Amama guy. Okay, well, I'm like, I know these three and M. Poli. I know that one. Okay, let's watch these ones. Has a really good fight with McElrath. So I'm like, okay, you got my attention now. When you can go with McElrath and hang tight, because I know how tough Dylan McElrath is, and he looked good there. Great fight with Arsenal. Check that one out. Omama. I've had a bunch of people tell me that Boku Omama guy is, I don't see it. I mean, he's willing and everything. I'm not knocking the kid, but somebody was telling me about it and I kind of went down the rabbit hole and watched a bunch of his stuff. I don't see it. I don't, you know, like, I mean, he's willing and everything, but okay. Anyway, Poli, he gave it to Poli pretty good. Gave it to a Hathaway. Was it Hathaway? I don't know. The Greenway on Providence. But anyway, I got to say though, no, like I said, big kid, sick, like 6'8", like it's like Chara, right? More or less. I will say the Rangers, if they were smart, and you're serious with this kid and whatever, this is just my opinion. I would find a big man to work with him. I would literally, seriously, I would get a Steve McIntyre, a guy that's his size that can relate to him. But McIntyre, a guy that knew how to use his size. Because it's interesting, for as tall as he is, he doesn't lock guys out. He keeps him in close, actually. which, okay, is fine. Also tells me, I don't think, now again, I have to go through his WA. I didn't watch every one of his fights because, again, I wanted to get this recorded quickly. So I apologize for not going really deep into it. Maybe there was. But from watching his fighting style, it leads me to believe that he's never really been caught with one yet. Because if he had, I think he would be using his size more. And he should, when you're that big, you could string, you got fishing poles for arms. You could string motherfuckers out. They ain't reaching you. And meanwhile, you could just, and you could play a tune on their head. So, they need a big man to work with them, I think, and kind of get him to use his length. And, but right now, because I will say credit to him, he doesn't, I mean, again, as a fight fan, you know, when they use their length, that's boring as shit. But at the same time, if for self-preservation, you know, is what it's all about. Because he didn't jersey jab guys or stick them out or, you know, like I said, string them out and just kind of lean back. Because, I mean, if he strung a guy out and leaned back, well, you know, the only thing he's going to catch is a cold from the fists, from the wind. So, because they ain't reaching him. But it also makes for a very boring fight. So I will say he stays in the pocket. He stays, keeps the guys in tight from the fights that I saw. Which probably is not, I mean, as a fight fan, it's good. As an individual, probably not so much. I would say kid, learn to, like I said, learn to use your size to string a guy out. But I like his willingness. And it's, he's going to be somebody I pay attention to. And like I said, I got the fondness for, he had a junior A guy and a Western guy. You know, he's got my attention now. So, you know, I hope he can stick with the Rangers and, you know, we'll see. And we'll see how he does going forward. But yeah, he's a big dude and, you know, and like I said, watch the AHL stuff. I don't know how much pop he's got on his shots. Same time, he's 21, grown into it, right? Because like I said, didn't strike me as a real huge fighter in the Western League. And so, but I think obviously someone kind of clued him in. And like, if you're going to make the NHL, this is what you need to do. And clearly it worked because he's there now. So, you know, good on him. And good luck going forward. And we'll see what he can do. Matt Rempe, there, so check him out. Big kid for the Rangers, and, you know, old Ked's probably from the morning skate. You know, he's fired up. So, yeah, we'll see. It'll be fun to watch his development going forward. It's always fun to watch the, you know, the kids when they come up, right? And you can, you know, well, and the other thing that's always cool, and it, yeah, I mean, it bugs me that we couldn't do it back in the day, but, of course, now with video and everything everywhere, and you can watch them right from, like I said, with this Rempe, I could go back to his very first Western League fight, and you know, when he's 17 or whatever in junior. I mean, you know, and you go all the way through and you watch those, and you watch his AHL, and then you get to the NHL. So you get to watch his development, which is really cool. And, you know, which obviously in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, we weren't really able to do because it wasn't, you could get the odd junior fight or the odd minor league fight, but it's not like you could get all of them, right? You couldn't see all of the fights. Very few guys. I mean, like I always said with Scott Parker, it's like the one guy that I know, I'm trying to think, like back at, for like the older guys where like 95% of his junior fights, because there was a fight guy in Kelowna that got all the games, so he made the Parker tape, and then he got the American League Hershey Bears footage for Parker, put that together, and then of course the NHL stuff, right? So all of Parker's stuff is there, which is very rare back for a 80s, 90s guy. So, because most guys, you'd have, even LaRocque. I mean, I have some of George's junior fights, but certainly not all of them. Some of his Hamilton Bulldog fights, but not all of them. So it's like, you know, you don't get to see all of it. Bugard a little bit too. You could see because his brother was really big into collecting the footage. So there's a bunch of junior Boogie stuff. And then, of course, the East Coast League with Louisiana, the Ice Gators put a tape out. How was that from back in the day? The actual team made a fight tape and sold it. Yes, the Louisiana Ice Gators made a tape that year. It's a great DVD too. Bugard and Sean Skihar kicking ass in Louisiana. It's a good one. You know, and then obviously American League and then boom up to the NHL. So, you know, that stuff is around, but like I said, it's very rare. So nowadays, that's why I always say, now we got all the technology and no one fights anymore. So, such as it is. But anyway, that, yeah, Matt Rempe, there we go. Good luck to you, kid. And yeah, I'll be paying attention. It'll be interesting. Like I said, as you're listening to this, of course, that fight was 10 days ago. So I'm interested to see if he's still up and what he's doing. You know, especially a young guy. I mean, you're going to be a tough guy, and if they're going to keep him around for a couple weeks, I mean, he's going to have to make the rounds. Not that there's a lot of guys out there, but, you know, whoever is out there, hopefully, like I said, if he plays I don't know what the schedule is, but hopefully if he plays a Toronto or he plays a Philly or something, you know, Delorier and Reeves give him a shot, right? You know, who knows nowadays, but, you know, we will see. But anyway, folks, you know, we're, like I said, I hate to be rushing through here, like my hair is on fire, but, kind of got shit to do here. So, let's get to that list, but beforehand, we got to do some sponsorship. So, oh, by the way, if you're on social media, Fourth Line Voice on Twitter as well as on Facebook, and check out my YouTube channel. I have over 2,200 videos on there, and all the leagues are represented, so please subscribe to the channel. If you happen to watch a video you like, hit the like button. I hate that. Smash the like button! But it's true, because that does help in the algorithms, and so I get it. But yeah, it's the same thing with the sponsorship here. I know a lot of people fast-forward through the DraftKings ads and everything, and I get it, right? But if you are going to gamble and play some fantasy sports or bet on sports, and you're going to use DraftKings, please use the promo. Literally, please use the promo code THPN. It really is free money. You put like $5 in and get $200. You really do. It's not just a scam. You really do it. These gambling sites, they all want people to sign up and play with, gamble with them. So they'll give away the farm to get new listeners or new gamblers. So yeah, but THPN, if you want $200, but it's what keeps the network afloat. So, these are the ads, because somebody was bitching to me again about the ads. It's like, dude, that's the way it is. If like you watch TV, there's ads that come on. If it's what supports the show, same thing with YouTube. You watch it. I get the YouTube ads are annoying, but that's what keeps YouTube going, right? And that's what gets people paid, and that's what monetizes channels and that type of thing. That's how we get paid for the podcast. Download, don't stream, please. But yeah, it's through DraftKings is paying us. So yeah. So bear with me, please. I'm sorry that pisses some of you off, but I really wish some of you, if you're going to gamble, I really do hope you sign up. And anyway, got to do what we got to do. Keep the lights on. But anyway, here we go. And after this, let's get to this list.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Yeah, Connor Bedard's back. Anytime scoring prop for him is +330. Oilers, the favorite Stanley Cup futures ticket, +700 right now, followed by Boston and Colorado at +850. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Okay. Well, as I said, somebody had sent me this. It's from the NBC Sports YouTube channel. And they're like, hey, check it out. It's their, can you believe NBC did a top 10 fights and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, okay. No, I can't believe it, actually. And, yeah, I just could imagine. Sorry, folks. I'm plugging my phone in here. It's almost dying. So, no, I can't imagine NBC doing a list. So let's go through it. So I watched the video. It's about a 14-minute video. And all right, you know, I will put a link in the description here of the podcast if you guys want to check it out. Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, you know, it was an interesting list. Let's get into it. Well, number 10 was Scott Stevens versus Dave Manson. You know, a real talked about fight. I know Stevens and Manson had a real rivalry going. Stevens was playing with the Blues at the time, Manson in Chicago. It's in the old Chicago Stadium, so it was really rocking. It was kind of a little line thing, and then Stevens and Manson separate, square off. It was a cool square off, and, you know, not a little bad, not a bad little tilt. I mean, I don't know what makes it a great, one of the greatest top 10 hockey fights of all time. I'm like, you know, I could put about 40 LNH fights in front of that thing. So, I should have said at the start of the, obviously being NBC Sports and the 10 greatest, it's just going to be NHL stuff, right? So, you know, it should have been the 10 greatest NHL fights of all time, not just 10, but I mean, a lot of these, you know, a lot of people, and there's a lot of people that, oh, you know, oh, it's the NHL or nothing. They don't pay attention to anything else. So I get it why they, oh, Engelstad, you know, Engelstad and Hordachuk isn't on there. It should have been. But, you know, if you're going to talk about great fire, Tasker, Sandner, you know, real diehard hockey fans know that. But, I mean, obviously we're catering to the NHL crowd and it's NBC Sports. It's not like they're going to go dig up, you know, Western Hockey League footage or anything. I get it. So I should have said it's the top 10 NHL fights of all time. So, but yeah, Manson and Stevens, was it Crit? Y2J? Crit, he and I disagreed on this, because he kind of says this is where Stevens, like, really kind of stopped being a real good fighter, blah, blah, blah. And, I talked about that before. I mean, him and I talked about it. And I mean, I never thought about it that way. I mean, that's his opinion. I wasn't saying it was right or wrong. I just kind of, you know, I think you're probably going a little too deep psychology about it, but, because I don't, Stevens, this idea that Manson really beat the shit out of him, I mean, you know, not really. I mean, it's a wild, scrambly fight. I mean, you know, Manson busts him up, cut him around the eye. I mean, it was an okay, you know, but was it some big, huge ass kicking? Not really, but I don't know. But the fight was cool. The build up, of course, being in the old stadium, get the fans rocking and everything else. It's like, you know, I get the gravity of the situation, like the moment, right? So, but in terms of actual, like, you know, some toe-to-toe punch-up war, nah, you know, it was all right. Number 9 was the Caps and the Flyers when Wilson and Simmons fought, and then Ray Emery fought Holtby, and, you know, Le Cavalier fights, and there's a line brawl, and it's like, you know, this is like new age thinking. I mean, you know, at the time, I mean, you can't beat a good line brawl. It's like, okay, you know, Wilson and Simmons fought, then Emery goes down and basically beats the shit out of Holtby, who just takes it, and the couple of Washington guys just stand there and watch, and they're yelling at the refs. It's like, oh God, you can definitely tell it's new age hockey. You know, I guess I think they're going for the spectacle of it. Maybe not the air quotes greatest fight. Like when you say greatest fight, you're thinking again, Tasker, San or something. I guess Holtby and Emery. Sure. I mean, anytime the goalies fight, it's always unique, right? And Ramery is a bad dude, man. And, you know, rest in peace, old Ray Ray. But, yeah, he could throw for sure. Number 8 was the, well, it surprised me. It was the Montreal Boston in 1970. You know, LaPointe and Cashman, and the bench is empty, and Sanderson, the cops are getting into it, and it surprised me that they went back that far. I thought everything would be, you know, like, you know, even the Stevens Manson thing kind of surprised. Oh, it's like, okay, the 90s or whatever, and then all of a sudden we're going back to 1970. It's like, holy shit, okay, well, you know. I thought everything would just be like new age shit. Cause of course they showed, like I said, number 9 was the Washington Philly thing. It was kind of like, yeah, okay. But yeah, I mean, bench clearing brawl. I mean, you know, the old black and white footage. It was something. It was, you know, Cashman going nuts, just going pile to pile, swinging on people. Yeah. You know, just crazy old time brawl. Right. So, number 7 was, an older one. It was, the Flyers and the Kings, and, ends up like Mal Bridgman and Steve Jensen fight like 3 times. Randy Holt and Paul Holmgren, really have a good one. Yeah, it's classic good old Flyer bench clearing, with LA. And, but yeah, Jensen and Bridgman with that friggin' Spaceballs helmet. Feel sorry for Jensen having to bash his hand off of that thing. But Mal Bridgman, undersized guy, but tough dude. And Jensen did well too. It was a real, you know, so they had a real solid exchange, but Holt and Holmgren was a real good one. Yeah. Solid little line bro. So like, I'm like, holy shit, they're going into the 70s and stuff here. I'm like, you know, again, it was a unique pick. Again, I think the spectacle of a bench clearing brawl, I'm sure who at NBC Sports, I'm sure whoever their media person that was putting this together, I can guarantee is under 25 years old. So for them, I'm sure this is just like, oh my God, like, you know, watching, you know, Thunderdome, Apocalypse Now or something watching this shit. Cause they, and it's true. And I will get to the final one in a minute here, but when, you know, I'll get to that when I'm wrapping up. But, number six was, you know, Juan Osgood. Of course, the you gotta have the, Avalanche Detroit battle. Of course, this is the rematch game, the second time that they fought. You know, Waz looking after Vernon busted him up. He's looking for Osgood for, for the rematch or for the, redemption, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, Colorado Detroit rivalry for the ages, and those games will never be forgotten. And, you know, I still have yet, I know ESPN, who was it? Somebody released the documentary on that, and I have not watched it yet. And, I've been told by a number of people it's very good. Yeah, I need to, I mean, obviously I know all about it, but, yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out for sure. That was number six, number five. Oh, the Probert Domi rematch. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, Probert could have probably been on here a couple times. You know, he's not with the Crowder ones and stuff, but, that was always, that's why I always say with Probert, my old wrestling fans out there that listen, I know all Tim being one of them. And, you know, as Dusty Rhodes would say, he's a big money ball player, and Probert was, he was a big money player. And, when the rematch was going to happen, you weren't getting fucking let down. Probert was going to show up and put on a show. He did with Domi. He did with Crowder. Ewan, you know, all these. Like, I mean, those ones aren't, the Ewan one isn't as famous, but he got dropped in the first one. He came back strong in the second. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Probert always showed up for the rematches. And, yeah, and he didn't disappoint in this one for sure. And this is after getting talked to by the league, and they're like, oh, if you guys fight, we're giving you 20 games, blah, blah, blah. Probert still pushed it. Domi tells the story. Like, Probert comes out, and he's like, yeah, let's get it over with. And he's like, holy shit, seriously? Did you not remember what Stein said? Like, we're getting 20 games. Probert's like, I don't fucking care. Let's do it. And like, Bob's a bad dude, man. You know, like I said, leave it to the committee. Oh, if you fight, we're going to suspend you. Yeah. Yeah. The place is rocking. It's the sellout ticket. Yeah. The commissioner is, yeah, don't fight. We'll suspend you. Like, holy shit. Like I said, hockey can't get out of its own way sometimes, but they did do it. And there we go. Number four was the Flyers Habs playoff was the pregame brawl in the playoffs. And, again, could you imagine nowadays a playoff series and they get to the game and they're like, oh my God, you wouldn't believe there was a brawl before the game started. People would be like, what? Could you imagine what social media would do? Yeah. Of course, Claude Lemieux and those, and, you know, Corson and them messing around at the end, putting the puck in the empty net, in the Flyers empty net. And, Hospodar and them took offense to it. And, yeah, man, the brawl was on. Of course, ends up with Nylan fighting Dave Brown, and, you know, Brown with no gear on. And yeah, imagine fighting Brown with no shirt, like just wearing shoulder pads, or he wasn't even wearing shoulder pads. He just had his pants like, and just like Nylan's like, oh shit, you know? Yeah, it's just, again, pregame brawl, the playoffs, you know, but, yeah. Amazing. Number three, of course, the Asbury Red Wings, the first one, Vernon and Waugh. Yeah, I mean, again, I mean, what can you say about the Detroit Colorado, that rivalry in that time, for that time period? You know, all the other stories with the McCarty and Lemieux thing, and, you know, Shanahan doing the flying tackle and shit. Yeah, man, it's, you know, yeah, Forsberg and, you know, Larionov and all of them fighting. I mean, you had guys that don't normally fight. And I mean, that's how much passion there was into it. And, yeah, man, that's the rivalry. That's a rivalry that you can't create, in a TV studio, you know, or a sports channel trying to hype up something. That's legitimate. There was hatred there. And you saw it play out. Number two is Quebec, Montreal, 1984, when, Louis Slager drops, Hamel with the shot over the ref's shoulder and really puts him out. And that is a vicious brawl with everyone fighting. The Hunter brothers almost go at it. You know, backup goalies or Malarchuk for Quebec's fighting. And, in a bit, I remember the brawl, like, I remember seeing clips of the brawl. I remember the sucker punch and, you know, the aftermath of that. I don't think I've ever actually sat down and watched, you know, the whole brawl intently and took notes or anything. So to watch this video was pretty interesting. I mean, Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing I've always said as a hockey fight fan, like, you know, when you used to get fight tapes and fight DVDs and stuff, and you got older 80s, 70s, 80s stuff, you know, there's always lots of brawls and whatever. I always, as a fan, I was like, I never liked the brawls because it's like, I never knew which fight to watch, right? I was like, can y'all fight just individually back to back so I can watch it? I gotta say though, it all, you know, being serious though, like, you get in a brawl like that, that's like, especially back then. I mean, anytime you would be, not that they, they wouldn't happen now, but, like I said, with that 70s brawl, and you got Cashman going pile to pile, like, suckering guys and shit. I mean, that would be a scary deal, man, if you're on the bottom of a pile, and, like, because no one's coming to save you for, like, a bunch of minutes, right? Because the refs are separating guys, and if you get a couple guys that get real hot about shit and are nuts, I mean, and they're throwing shots at you underneath, or eye gouging, and you got goddamn skates flying around. Like, it's amazing to me that more guys just didn't get, like, fingers cut and faces, like, cut up and all that shit, right? Like, you just think of these brawls with guys falling all over and fighting next to each other, and you just think it's, I mean, I'm sure people probably got gashed with skates, but I mean, you know, just some real horrific shit that could have happened, right? It's just, but yeah, man, brawls would be scary. I mean, I've had friends back in the junior days that had lion brawls and everything else, and they're like, all you're doing is just hoping to grab, like, kind of the, you know, the, basically the pussiest guy on the other team, right? So at least if you're gonna start really swinging, it's like, okay, I could probably take this guy, but two, it's like, he's not really anxious to fight either, so you can maybe kind of just go through the motions. But yeah, you didn't want to grab, because there's always a couple of guys that are gung-ho to fight everyone, right? Yeah, that's the guy you didn't want to grab. But yeah, scary shit, man. And then of course, number one was the Bruins Rangers, and the Bruins went in the crowd, and we've all seen that clip a million times, but it was funny. I was kind of watching it intently the other night, and it's been a while. I mean, I know Milbury always gets shit for going up there, and people always bring up Milbury hitting the guy with the shoe, which is fucking hilarious. But O'Reilly started the whole thing by going to the crowd. I noticed nobody ever gives O'Reilly shit, but O'Reilly and McNabb and shit were the ones that were really gung-ho, but, like, Winsick gets up there, and, like, they're all up there, and, like, just the Milbury hitting the guy with the shoe is just funny. But I'm like, fuck that guy. Grab this. Fuck the fans. I'm all for the. I don't know why the people give the Bruins shit. I'm like, I was pumped the Bruins went in the crowd. But that gets me to what I was saying before. You just watch it, and like, what a moment in time. Like, what a different mindset the world had then. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into some political or, you know, what ideology and all that shit, but. But just in terms of hockey, well, let's stick to hockey. But just, not that that was, oh, he went in the crowd, beat him with a shoe. It's just an accepted practice. But it was like, I don't know how much of a big deal it was. Like, I mean, people would watch it, and they'd be like, okay. But like I can remember brawls happening when I was younger. And I don't remember, like, it wasn't like front page news, and it was all over the news. Oh, you wouldn't believe what happened, the disgrace, and... Like, no, not really. It would get mentioned, but people just kind of, it's hockey. That's what they do. Like, it's interesting, the mindset now. No, I'm sure there were probably, obviously, there were people that were horrified and outraged, but no, I'm not saying, I wish they still went into the crowd. I'm not saying that, but you just watch it. And I guess that's also the mindset, or the difference in, generations, right? Like, I'm watching that, and yeah, it was crazy and everything else, but it's like, well, I've seen penalty box fights, I've seen other people go into the crowd, I've seen people punch fans. It's like, it's always a surprise when it happens. Obviously, it wasn't like, oh, this is, it used to happen every Tuesday. Like, well, no, but bench clean brawls don't, like, every once in a while you'll see some youth hockey that it's at the end of the game, and everyone's out in the ice, and there's like three fights maybe, and they're wearing gloves and helmet. But all these people in the comment section are having a knip, like, this is the worst thing they've ever seen, and they can't believe it. And it's like, holy shit, you literally are under 25 years old, aren't you? Because it's like, what do you do? Like, calm down. Like, holy shit. I think it's just the drama now that goes around everything. It's like, just calm down. But, no, to watch the Bruins in the stands, I just got to think, I couldn't even try to just think, just for a second, wrap your head around if the Boston Bruins went into the stands today. Just imagine what would happen in the world, in the North American sports world, if a hockey team went into the stands and started beating fans. Just imagine. Could you? Oh, you can't. Twitter would melt. They cry over body checks now. Imagine that. a player going in and assaulting a fan. Like, those guys would be in jail. They'd be sued for everything. The league would get sued. Oh, I couldn't imagine. Oh. So that was just a wild thing watching it. And you just try to, you put yourself in that position. Like, you just try to, you equate it to today. Like, put it in today. It's, you can't. It's just impossible. Yeah, so, like I said, I'm sure whoever put this video together was probably under 25 years old and was watching this shit. And somebody's like, oh, you go through it and you got to put the guy hitting the fan with the shoe. The what now, huh? You know, because I'm sure, like, if I went and talked to some 18, 19-year-old seasonal kid at work and talked about the time the Bruins player hit a fan with his shoe and they went into the crowd and were beating him up, he'd look at me like I had a turd hanging out of my mouth. I'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I have to, like, even now, oh, I'll get my phone out and show them on YouTube, like, because we'll be talking hockey, like, we have some hockey fight fans or whatever, and they'll be, oh, like, did you see the fight last night with, oh, the Chuck and blah, 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 and, oh, fuck, really, like, yeah, I'm like, here's a fight, and I'll show them, like, Hordachuk and Engelstad or Tasker and Sen, and it just blows their, Marasti and Bosse or Terrio and versus anyone, and it just blows their mind, like, they're like, what is this, right, like, yeah, exactly, so it's just interesting, the generational, the mindset, that, you know, I don't blame them. They weren't even born when these fights were happening. So it's like, I'm not getting on them, but it's just like, you don't know what you don't know, right? So, but it's just how mindset's different, hockey's different. And it really hits home when you watch videos like this or you watch old stuff. It just sort of, I mean, I always yap about the generations. I get it, but I just sort of, as I was watching the video, it sort of just dawned on me just the difference. And, you know, well, even this, like I said, well, it was this, yeah, like I said, at the start of the show, I'm talking about Matt Rempe making his NHL debut and people are online talking about it. And, you know, Tim's letting me know and, you know, people are getting, oh, you know, this is a new guy. Well, wait till you see him and all this rookie and all blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and it's such a big deal's made of it. And it's just like, you know, back in the day, just be another guy, right? Just another big guy that's fighting. Now, obviously, he's extraordinarily big, but you know what I'm saying? Just kind of, he's just another big, tough rookie up in the Western League. It used to happen all the time back in the day. And then, you know, you'd see what the guy got, and he'd have to go through the league fighting everybody. And if he did well, he'd stick. If not, he'd be back riding the bus. And, you know, now it was just a real generational thing anyway, but. Anyway, folks, there we go. That is episode 363 and the top 10 NHL fights of all time, according to NBC Sports. And but it was a fun little video, and I'll put the link to the video in the show description here, so you guys can check it out. Like I said, it's about a 14-minute video. It was cool. Like I said, I guess it depends. I mean, like I said, if for a 25-year-old guy making the video, I mean, yeah, these line brawls and bench-clearing brawls would be crazy, and he'd never seen anything like that. In terms of actual, you know, toe-to-toe, holy shit, no, not really. No, I mean, I would have had the Probert-Domi rematch on it just for what it was and the anticipation of it and the build-up to it. Yeah, I would have that on there. Other than that, you know, and especially for, you know, me, I'm going to, if it was the greatest, top 10 greatest fights, I'd probably have maybe two NHL fights. The rest would probably all be minor league shit and LMH stuff. You know me, I'm a little biased in that way. I guess if I was making a greatest fights video, I'd have to put parameters on myself. So that would, cause or else we'd be all over the place. But, anyway, thank you guys very much for tuning in. And, as I always say, and it's true, and I'm just not just saying it, the fact that you chose to listen to my show when there's a million podcasts out there, I really appreciate it. I really want to thank you guys for the feedback that I've been getting. Like I said, my DMs are open. If you're on social media, drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. If you're not on social media, hockeyfights@hotmail.com, please email me. I'd love to hear from you guys. Just if you want to share a story or just, hey, listen to the show, and you said this, and that got me thinking, I'm a big fan of this guy, and blah, 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 or you should check this guy out, or blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'd love to hear from fight fans, man. That's why I do this show. I want to hear from you guys. This is your guys' show. And that's why I did this episode today. You know, like I said, I'm recording on Sunday the 18th, and it's now, I don't know, what is it, the 26th? Whatever. Because I wanted to get something out for you guys for on Wednesday. When you sit down in your cubicle eating your cheese sandwich, there's the fourth line voice to listen to. So you don't have to listen to Martha talk about her cats. So, you know, I didn't want to let you guys down. So, yeah, that's, I've recorded 3 episodes in less than 24 hours. So, you know, and, you know, how great the episodes are. I mean, that's up to interpretation, but, you know, it's something to listen to anyway. And I hopefully it gets you through your day. And as a fight fan, hopefully it gives you, you know, something to think about or talk about or, you know, contemplate at any rate, but, please, if you, whatever platform you're listening to this on, Spotify, iTunes, what have you, please, could you rate and review the show? I'd greatly appreciate it. It helps me out in the algorithms. And, yeah, guys, there we go. Out in Sin City here. Hopefully, like I said, you know, please let me be winning. Please let me be winning. But, I already know this. I don't even have to look into a crystal ball for this. I love Las Vegas. I will be having a great time, and I'll be just happy to be on vacation. And my wife and I always love it, and it'll be fun. So I know that much. But after listening to this, I will be back on Sunday, March the 3rd. Happy birthday to my brother Ryan. I will be back and talking to you guys Sunday. Give you my what happened, the trip wrap up, and you know, something goofy will always probably happen, or I'll be ranting about something. Hopefully, I'd like to tell you about. Hopefully, I'm telling you about some jackpot that I hit or my wife hit. But no, well, like I said, it's just gonna be fun to get away. So anyway, there we are, folks. Fourth Line Voice. I don't know what that meant. I was gonna say something, and I was like, I completely blanked out, but. Holy shit. Time to go pack. I'm getting out of here. Thanks, guys. And we'll talk to you on Sunday. Thanks, everybody. We'll be home. Home. I'll talk to you from home.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?